Hello again, I'm Michael Enright. Welcome to the third hour of This Morning for a Wednesday, the 24th of November. You never know what you're going to find at Marty Millionaire's Furniture Store in downtown Toronto, but one thing is for sure, the customer there is king. We'll visit Marty's later in this hour. First up, classroom innovation with technology. These days in Canadian schools, we're seeing technology in the classroom that no one would have dreamt of a few years ago. And this is true, of course, whether the school is in Vancouver or Iqaluit. Getting online with someone an ocean away to do some research or taking pictures with a digital camera has become as much a part of the classroom as the pencil sharpener and the chalkboards. With all this technology available, though, the big question is, are students and teachers making good use of high-cost, high-power, high-tech? Joining me now are two teachers who must be making good use of technology because Industry Canada has just given their school special recognition and development money. Diane Williams teaches in the small Cape Shore community of St. Bride's in Newfoundland. She's in our St. John's studio this morning. And Bill Belzy teaches in Bragg Creek, Alberta at the Banded Peak School. He is in our Calgary studio this morning. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Now, you're playing hooky this morning to join us. I thank you very much for that. let's assume you were in your classroom this morning rather than talking to us on the radio. Diane, what would you be doing at the Fatima Academy in St. Bride's this morning?
Well, if I was in the computer lab with a group, we may be on the internet where students would be researching some topic. It could be for a language paper or social studies. They were getting information from any source around the world that they would not normally be able to get in an isolated community like ours.
And they're quite comfortable with this?
Oh, very much so. The only problem is we don't have enough internet time, but other than that...
Uh-huh. But this is a tribute to you, though. I mean, you're the one who raised the comfort level, I take it, in the lab.
Well, actually, it was a group effort in our school about 5 years ago. We developed a technology plan. Five or six teachers sat down and wrote out what we wanted, where we wanted to go, and what we'd have to do to get there. So we've had so much success because of everybody working together. So I really can't, I don't feel I can take a whole lot of the credit for it, other than the fact that I'm the lead teacher in this. Right?
Well, we can give you a whole lot of credit. You don't have to do that. Bill, what would you be doing at Banded Peak today, this morning?
Well, a number of things, I guess. My role at Banded Peak is called the facilitating teacher, which lets me do a lot of wonderful things that I provide support for teachers and students.
Sort of an open door, that phrase.
Throughout the school,
facilitating teacher. You can do anything you want.
It sure is. And I think it speaks to the new role that teachers are playing and beginning to play more and more in the class. You know, you hear the phrase guide on the side rather than sage on the stage. Practically speaking, though, in my school right now, I could be potentially working with a group of grade 5 kids, helping them create a multimedia presentation using a Canadian program we have called Astound, which allows them to integrate video, text, images, internet links, etc.
Now, grade 5 to be what age?
Oh, we're looking at probably around 10 years old or so, 11 years old, where the kids would be pulling together information that they have found and presenting this information on a project that they're doing about Canada's physical regions. Yesterday, we just hosted a group of visiting teachers from the Calgary area, and I had my digital film class, which is a grade 8 class, and those students have created 30-second documentaries. And a group of four girls were showing their work, documentary film that they did about racism. And we're going to be putting this on our website.
They made a documentary film in grade 8?
A 30-second short about, and it was wonderful. It was incorporating music from Amanda Marshall. Their music they chose was called Shades of Grey. And it ended up, I think, with their final scene that they had titled, that they put in, I think it was said something, that the world is made of many colors. Today or tomorrow, I have a class in what is formerly known in Alberta as CTS, or Career and Technology Studies, which is about web page creation, but I put a new spin on that, and I call it the Community Networkers class. I put this up as a SchoolNet's grassroots project, and what we do is we've invited nonprofit groups from the Bragg Creek, Redwood Meadows area to come in, and our students are working with those nonprofit groups to give them a web presence. And our Rocky View board has kindly, you know, agreed to serve their pages. So our kids are working with the nonprofit groups to create a virtual presence for the Bragg Creek Community Church, the Minor Soccer Association, on and on and on. But the importance of it, though, is not the HTML, which they're learning, which is the, you know, web page creation jargon. Although they do certainly learn those skills, the really important stuff is in working with the people,
sure,
and in building community. And anyway, so those are some of the very specific things that I might be doing if I was back at Band of Peak today.
Now, Diane, you're in St. Bride's. You're a small school, I take it, but you have an unusual setup there. Tell me about that.
Well, we're kindergarten to grade 12 school, a regional school, and that means that we cater to kids from 4 years old to 18 years old. And we try to introduce the kids immediately to technology so that they become comfortable with using it no matter what they're doing. The digital camera, for example, it wouldn't matter what age the child was. They all get to use it. They all get to do editing with it and use it to create their web pages. Pretty well every child from grade 2 to grade 12 can create a web page, and we use that on our website.
You started grade 2?
Yes. For the web pages we do. We don't have the grade 1s doing that right now. The teacher does one main page for them. Our grade 2s, in fact, were involved with the project last year with our grade 11 students, where they won first place in Canada for a communities project where Industry Canada SchoolNet put out a competition for a school to highlight their community on a web page.
Uh-huh.
And we were really proud of that. And our grade 2s worked with our grade 11s. So it is really a community school where the little kids learn from the big kids and the big kids learn from the little kids, and everybody kind of takes care of everybody else.
Talk to me a bit about the, and I'm going to use the word remote because the school on the Cape, you're on the Cape Shore, may not be remote as far as Newfoundland is concerned, but the rest of us. How does that affect the youngsters when they can have access to the entire world and they're in the small community? What's been the impact on them?
Well, what we feel is happening, and from the results we get, the feedback we get after they leave more than anything else, is it gives them a lot of confidence. When you live in a small bay community in Newfoundland, you tend to think that you're not getting the same advantages of other places. You're not as comfortable with, say, going into big centers and things like that. So we find that being comfortable in technology these days means that when they leave our school and they leave the Cape Shore, and they have to do that in order to continue, most of them, and they feel comfortable walking into Memorial University, for example. They know how to use all the technology there that they need to use. And it really raises their self-esteem, so it's had a psychological effect. We think it has.
Sure.
And so that's one of the things about it. The other thing, of course, is that if we prepare them with technology, we believe that, you know, we're doing what we should do to prepare them for the world, because the reality is it really doesn't matter what job you have these days. You have to be able to use forms of technology.
Well, I want to pick up on that point a bit later, but we're talking about remote places. And
yes.
Bill, before you started teaching in Alberta, you took the first computer north, is that right?
Well, there's quite a story around that. I had the pleasure of going to doing my teacher education at Queen's University, and I met and still know a mentor there named Bill Higginson. And while I was there, Professor Higginson got me fired up about something quite a number of years ago, which came out of MIT and Seymour Papert. It was a programming language called Logo. And what I realized was that, you know, unlike sort of the electronic flashcards, which were very much in vogue then, and unfortunately we still see too much of today, Logo allowed children to have creative control over their own learning. And I just got a fire lit under me about the potential of all of this. So when my wife, Elena, and I, God bless her, we were first given a job offers to go and teach in the Northwest Territories about 20 years ago. We were given a $1,000 advance on our salaries from then the government of the Northwest Territories. And I said to Elena, you know, Elena, I have an idea what I'd like to do with that $1,000. And she looked at me, and as she's done so many times in our lives together, she said, okay, Bill. And I said, well, I'd like to buy a computer. And she
No, this is 20 years ago.
Yes, and without flinching, she said, okay. Now, you have to understand, Michael, the context of this. At the time when Elena and I were graduating from Queens, we had about $20,000 in student loans between us, and at that time, the interest rate was 22%.
Yeah.
And we had nothing. And yet, Elena God Lover said yes, okay. So we went, we bought a Texas Instrument TI-99 computer. Because it did logo, I couldn't afford an Apple II at the time. We probably couldn't even afford the one we bought.
Yeah.
And there we were, we took it north, and there we were, and then, it's now known as Alviet, actually where Susan Gluckark was born, but then known as Eskimo Point, and there we were in the very early 80s doing logo programming with the Inuit children. Of Eskimo Point. Oh, yes, because one of the things we found was that for a lot of Inuit kids, they're learning, of course, English as a second language.
Yeah.
And they are very much comfortable in a mathematic, and most often they really love, of course, phys ed like all kids, but also math classes, because they're dealing with an environment that they're way more comfortable with.
And so
using numbers, these kids are able to use what is called a turtle or a sprite to create their own micro worlds on the screen. And it was incredible. And I was even able to, if you can believe this, I was even able to relate this story. And about 4 summers ago, I was invited to be one of 2 Canadians to be part of something called the 2B1 Foundation at MIT, and I actually had a chance to relate that story in person to Seymour Papert, the creator of Logo.
Oh.
So anyway, many people have told me that they feel that it was the very first computers in any school that they know of, and certainly government or business, there was none that many people can remember at that time. So.
Diane used the phrase real world, and there's something otherworldly about the story you just talked about, Eskimo Point. But the real world is kids, Diane, and kids do things that sometimes we look askance at. How do you keep them from surfing the net all day or just sitting around and sending emails to friends and so on?
Well, in our school, they wouldn't have the choice of surfing the net all day because we are limited to 30 online hours a month. Beyond that, we must pay for any other hours, and money is something that we're very cautious and careful with spending. So they wouldn't be able to do it all day. When they are on the net, they would have signed a contract, them and their parents, as far as what proper behavior and proper sites would be.
Right.
And they must be supervised. So we do our best, you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to say that we're perfect, but it's very rare that we have a problem because they lose their right, and that means something to them, because if you lose your right to surf the net, then you're losing something in our school that's very valued.
Let me ask you, and then I want to hear from Bill on this. Do you find ever that the technology gets in the way or impedes to any degree what's being taught?
Well, we want to use the technology just as a means of students getting the objectives or the outcomes of whatever's being taught. So it's not the technology itself, it's how it's being used. So if kids are doing something problem solving, and a computer or another type of technology, it could be video camera, it could be digital camera, or any number of different technologies, can help to solve that problem, then we encourage it, because out in industry, that's in fact what's happening now. So if it's just the technology, and it began that's what we were doing, we were just teaching them the technology, now that's not what we're doing. We're teaching them, they're learning other subjects, and they're simply using the technology. And that's a big strength we believe in our school. We don't believe in them just simply knowing how to use it, right?
Do you find that, Bill? Is that the case?
I'm looking around. I'm sitting here in the in Calgary studios, and I'm looking at all the technology around me.
Right.
I'm looking at your wonderful tech person who's here smiling at me. I mean, this is seamless and transparent.
Right.
And the conversation that you and Diane and I are having right now is what's important. The medium allows us to share ideas, to share our stories.
Uh-huh.
And people out there in, wherever they may be in Rankin Inlet or whatever listening in, I mean, they're not wondering about all the technology that supports all of this. They're hopefully, listening in and enjoying our story.
That's a good point.
And at Banded Peak School, and I'm sure just like at Fatima School, it sounds like for Diane, really what's happening and what has happened, and it's certainly been our goal, is to make the technology actually seamless and transparent. We want the focus to be on the learning, and we use the tools as best we can, try and find the most appropriate tools to help kids, follow a mode of learning that has to do with discovery and participation. We don't spend endless amounts of hours teaching the technology, although of course we have to, learn it as we go. But we don't often feel that we have to master something before we jump in and learn. And that's another thing, the idea about the guide on the side. We, you know, we say, well, you know, we don't master all this stuff. I mean, I've got kids coming into my school, and I've been involved with kids in computers a fair while, and I've got kids coming in grade, you know, 7 or 8 or even younger, saying, you know, Mr. Belsey, my dad just gave me this book on C++ or Visual Basic. Can you help me with this line of code? And I say, no, I can't, but you know what? Let's go down that road together. So I think, you know, we want it to be seamless and transparent, but the focus needs to be on learning.
You've got kids involved talking internationally around the world.
Yes.
Using computers.
Yes, absolutely. We're engaged in quite a number of projects, one of which is actually involved with a group called iEARN, which is the International Education and Resource Network, which for over a decade now, if you can believe it, has been helping to facilitate conversations between kids in have and have not parts of the world. You know, we have a project that we're working on, which isn't online yet, but it's we have a website called www.bullying.org, where our kids at the school, we're going to be starting up a lunch hour club soon. It's called Change the World 101, youth using technology to change the world one person at a time, where kids come together over issues that they care about. Certainly child poverty is one that, you know, certainly very topical today that many of the kids are caring about and want to pursue. Another group is looking at seriously at the issue of teasing and bullying, and we're going to be developing that website and as a sort of a portal, an information portal around the issues of bullying, which is very dear to all kids' hearts. Or not dear, I should say, but certainly important in their lives.
Diane, do you do this? Do you link up students in different parts of the country or different parts of the world?
Yes, well, we have a number of grassroots projects over the past couple of years through SchoolNet, and this year as well, where they use email to contact students from around the world. The year before last, one of the projects, our students were surveying kids in different countries about things that matter to them and where they were headed in their lives and whatever, and one thing that really struck them were some Israeli students they were in contact with who were about to go into the army for their 2-year army time, and that was you know, very eye-opening for our kids, because they don't even think, like, there are kids, you know, there are kids our age who have the same kind of ideas, like the same kind of music and everything, but are going to spend 2 years in the army.
I'm just thinking, I thought it was a big deal I learned to use a slide rule, you know, and then we're talking to kids in Israel. Now, each school got $10,000 from Industry Canada. How are you going to spend the money? I guess more equipment, Diane, or what are you doing?
Well, we're spending some of it on professional development for our teachers, because getting everybody involved and wanting everybody, and we're doing very, very well with that in our school. Everybody really does want to be involved, because the kids want to be involved, so it's easy. And so we're spending some money on that. And also we want to connect with other teachers and other schools, because there's no end to what we need to learn and how we want to improve. We're spending some money to expand our network across our school so that we can bring it into more of the classrooms away from the lab and the technology lab and into some other areas of the school. We're also spending some of our money on video technology, and because that's an area that we really want to get into, so that, and so far we haven't done a whole lot with that because we haven't had the money and we haven't had the equipment. So we're looking forward to getting help from our other NIS partners, and you know, so that they can help us with what we want to do there. So that's what some of the money will go for, most of it actually, because $10,000 doesn't take long to spend in technology.
I was going to say, Bill, have you got your spend already?
Well, we actually, you know, Michael, we're just starting in on those discussions. Four of our teachers, Lori Bowers, Mary Cameron, Scott Johnson, and Maureen McCashin, just went to the NIS conference in Montreal and came back and just shared with us all the information about it and what we've decided at Bend a Peak to begin to look at. And I think, you know, this is in a bit of a state of flux, but what we're looking at right now is time.
Yeah.
Time for teachers to talk.
Yeah.
Time for teachers to think. Time for teachers to look at their explorations in terms of their own professional development and that of the work that they do with the kids. We're looking at issues like media awareness, excuse me, and it was made known to Mr. Johnson and the others who attended the conference that, you know, there are some very how would I describe it, seductive kind of things going on at corporate websites where some corporations are trying to, shall I say, suck kids into giving away information in exchange for playing games and things on their sites. So we're going to be, a group of our teachers is going to be looking at the issue of media awareness in this new media age. Another group of teachers has been looking for already a year or so, but in continuing this year, at the issues of leadership and how students themselves can be leaders. Myself, I'm going to be looking at time to develop a thesis, and my thesis is around the ideas of the civil society and how we how we help kids of this, what Don Tapscott calls the net generation, to use the tools of their generation to you know, be involved in civic engagement, to give back to their communities, and be involved in social building social capital. So really,
you're going to find a good way to spend the money.
We are.
Well, congratulations to both of you, and thanks for joining us this morning, playing hooky and taking time out. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bill Belsey was in our Calgary studio, and Diane Williams in our studio in St. John's, Newfoundland.